I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 24th, 2024, and it is day seven without food, and that is all I'm going to say about day seven. But I am wearing a shirt I haven't worn in 6 years, so woohoo me. I'm going to start today with a story called The Nut and the Campanile. A nut found itself carried by a crow to the top of a tall campanile, and by falling into a crevice succeeded in escaping its dread fate. It then besought the wall to shelter it, by appealing to it by the grace of God and praising its heights and the beauty and noble tone of its bells. Alas, it went on, as I have not been able to drop beneath the green branches of my old father, and to lie in the fallow earth, covered by his fallen leaves, do you at least not abandon me? When I found myself in the beak of the crow, I made a vow that if I escaped, I would end my life in a little hole. At these words, the wall, moved with compassion, was content to shelter the nut in the spot where it had fallen. Within a short time, the nut burst open. Its roots reached in between the crevices of the stones and began to push them apart. Its shoots pressed up toward the sky. They soon rose above the building, and as the twisted roots grew thicker, they began to thrust the walls apart and force the ancient stones from their old places. Then the wall, too late and in vain, bewailed the cause of its destruction, and in short time fell to ruin. That's Leonardo da Vinci. And that brings us to our subject, which is the left, liberals, Trudeau, what is happening in this country, what is happening at the federal level. The immigration pivot that I have been talking about for at least a year on my Twitter account, and I've been talking about in my videos, it's here now. People have asked me repeatedly, but Poilievre, you talk about Poilievre, but you don't talk about how he won't confront mass immigration. He doesn't have to. Trudeau's doing the work for him, and when he gets elected, he'll be able to carry the football. He'll be the one that's responsible for overseeing this reform. He'll be the one responsible for overseeing the continuing reduction. Trudeau is now proposing a population reduction after, now I got to get the quote ready here. After 1 year ago, he said, last year, Canada welcomed 400,000 newcomers, the most we've welcomed in 1 year. We're building on that and setting higher targets in the years ahead. Because immigration is critical to growing our economy and helping businesses find the workers they need. I talked about the Century Initiative wanting to get Canada to 100 million people by the turn of the century. They bought into this. They decided to open the floodgates and get everybody in the country. But now, he says, we're going to significantly reduce the number of immigrants coming to Canada for the next 2 years. This is temporary, to pause our population growth and let our economy catch up. But it's not just the economy. The economy does include housing, it does include money, it does include employment, it does include all of the displaced Canadians who can't get jobs because of the temporary foreign worker program that this guy has let. I mean, we're not only destroying the future prospects of Canadians, we are also taking advantage of almost a modern form of slavery when you can bring people in to the advantage of the very wealthy corporations and completely disenfranchise Canadians themselves from hope and Canadians of all backgrounds. You know, they talk about Pierre Poilievre, and I'll just touch on this, Pierre Poilievre not getting his security clearance. How hypocritical is it, the people who are repeating these talking points, considering Gropergate, considering blackface, considering the ethics violations, considering the sheer amount of corruption and obstruction of justice this government has engaged in, including, I'm reading about, more shredded documents today, things that just magically disappear and they get away with it. They get away with murder. And then they want to point at Poilievre. Look, he could have an undisclosed criminal conviction. It wouldn't change the litmus. It wouldn't change the metric in this country. It would still be better than the corruption that's in office right now. So anyway, back to the point. People say he doesn't want to talk about immigration. He does not have to. The pivot on immigration was going to come no matter who is in office because you cannot allow what's happening to continue. Look, the deciding factor, I think, for Trudeau and this is the big scoop of the video, I imagine, is that he figured out with the BC election, as well as all the body of polling that's come out, that these immigrants that he's flooding the country with don't vote liberal. They don't like SOGI. They don't like high crime. They don't like a high cost of living. They don't like all the byproducts of liberal policies. Actually, they're not even byproducts. They're the direct result of liberal politics. And I think that was the nail in the coffin. I think that's what triggered him to move. There's all these other factors as well, like the linkage between mass immigration and economic turmoil, cultural turmoil, and the rise in crime are absolutely unassailable as fact-based realities. So he knows this, and everybody knew this, and that's why I've been saying the pivot on immigration is coming. But it's even deeper than that, because their most reliable voter base, the left's most reliable voter base, in their minds, this century initiative that they bought into, this whole concept that I'm spinning here, don't actually vote for them. So what's the point of continuing it for your own personal advantage? They're going to be politically bankrupt. So anyway, what's going to happen next? Justin Trudeau cannot be forced out. The rules of the Liberal Party say that he must resign or he must be voted out at the next scheduled leadership event. Now, the one thing that they can do, if they can't force him out, and this is just a scenario, is the next time there's a confidence vote, they could bring down their government. They might do that. At this point, if you're a Liberal Party member, if you're a person sitting in caucus, you have to be thinking and considering, how do I save my career? What can I possibly do that will give me enough credibility to frame the message that we are now leading the opposition from within the Liberal Party against Justin Trudeau? How can we spin it? How can we manipulate the public to believe that story? Well, I'm a big believer in the grand gesture, and a grand gesture would be 20, 30, 40 Liberal MPs voting against the Trudeau government in a confidence motion. It's not outside the realm of possibility. There's definitely an above 0% chance that that happens. There's also still on the table prorogation. I don't know if we're there yet, but he's besought on all sides right now. He's got an internal revolt, which is getting more and more public. There are Liberal MPs who are not being as guarded with their words. He's facing a revolt in the Commons. He's facing an ultimatum by the Bloc Québécois, which everybody is reluctant to meet. All of these things are culminating right around October 28th, 29th, as well as the results of the BC election being officially announced around those dates. The election here in Saskatchewan, there's so much stuff happening in the next couple weeks. It's almost going to be too much to even attempt to try and talk about. Another recent comment is that Poilievre is just a Machiavellian. Why doesn't he talk about this? Why doesn't he talk about that? He's just saying what he needs to say. He's just scheming for power. Guys, I gotta tell you something about politics. There isn't a single person in politics, whether they serve the light or they serve the dark, that isn't a Machiavellian. You want your politicians to be Machiavellians. You can apply the philosophies of the Machiavellis, the Sun Tzus, the Robert Greens, and all points in between, and not be evil. You can learn the tricks of the trade. You can apply those tricks, and you can still serve the light. Now, I'm not trying to paint Poilievre as a messiah or a great Satan, because that's what everybody else is preoccupied with doing. What I'm saying is, he's developed a strategy that is very different from the strategy that was deployed by Scheer's advisors through Scheer, very different from the strategy that was developed by O'Toole and his advisors that completely discredited the conservative movement. Poilievre has created his own combination. And it is powerful, because even in joke polls, he's got 38-39% support. That's as much as Stephen Harper. But in the aggregate, he's in the 40s. Now, that's unheard of for the Conservative Party. They haven't done it since Mulroney. So something fundamentally has shifted. The talk on crime, the talk about how to dry up the supply of drugs, the talk about getting tough on addicts rather than enabling them, things that sound like daddy coming home, because that's what the country needs. We've been run by weak men and angry women for far too long. Now it's time for something different. And I think difference already here. You already see it. For all the talk and worry about mass immigration never ending. Now we, in fairness, have been trying to sound the alarm about this for a while. This has been a known issue for at least 6 years. And we were called racist. We were routinely browbeaten. We were told that we hated people of color, and every kind of epithet was just thrown at our feet for saying that we were doing too much too fast and it was going to break the country. Well, we did too much too fast, and it's breaking the country. So now even the liberals are going to pull back. And you know what the amazing thing is? Is out of left field, out of nowhere, for the mass of the population, for the mass of the mainstream media, the liberals drop this surprise pivot on immigration, surprising to them. And they're not called racists. They're not called bigots. When you opposed the temporary foreign workers program, even a year ago, you were just racist and you didn't like brown people serving you coffee. And now they pivot. And they're going to get away with it. They're doting media. It's CTV, it's CBC, and everywhere else. Is just going to parrot their talking points and pivot the story and start giving you facts that people like myself were giving you for years. Isn't it amazing? When you live in a swimming soup of bullshit, forgive my French, isn't it amazing how the narrative shifts and we're all just expected to go along with it and not remember at all what we've been put through by saying the same things? What an incredible time to be alive. At any rate, we should all be glad this is happening now and not in a year or two or three. This is actually laying the groundwork for a very successful conservative government, because unlike popular opinion, I think the Conservative Party is going to govern exactly as advertised. They have every advantage too. This notion that these, it's so silly. I mean, it'd be entertaining if the consequences weren't so dire. The way the left has spun two provincial elections now, where a very different choice was offered to British Columbia, the Liberal Party, the old Liberal Party, the old provincial Liberals could not have offered that choice. Blue in BC is not just rebranded red. They're different on climate change. They're different on immigration. They're different on the addiction crisis. They're different on crime. And they still might form a government. And even if they don't form a government, they're going to form a huge opposition out of nowhere with very different ideas. And you can see the wailing and gnashing of teeth as they recognize the threat, and yet they would spin it as a victory. Like, they spin it like Ebby's a great guy. And then you go to New Brunswick. One of the reasons early on in my quest to find a place of refuge for my family, New Brunswick got scratched off the list. I've already talked about most of it in previous videos. But beyond the things I've talked about, speaking in general, they have a history of making really silly political choices, self-destructive political choices. And this time around, I would say they had a good pretext. Everybody was fed up with Higgs for a lot of different reasons. There was a laundry list of reasons, and people were just tired of him. They were tired of looking at him. Anybody worth their pinch of salt would have understood that Higgs was going to lose that election no matter what. And they try to spin it like it's about this gender nonsense. It has nothing to do with pronouns. It's a much more There's so many more rational people out there. There's so many more sane people out there that are quiet that this stuff resonates with. The problem is they're swimming in a soup of all these other causes du jour. And so they lose track of what's really important. You know, and people ask me, why haven't you been talking about the federal election? Look, I got an election coming up in my province. It's a really important one. There's a lot of factors here. And probably the most important thing to me right now is hopefully seeing the NDP not win this province. I think that would be very bad, not just for here. It would be bad for the country. But look, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to say more about Trudeau? We're waiting for prorogation. We are waiting for him to quit the party because the pressure turns up so high. We're waiting for the House of Commons to vote in favor of a no-confidence motion and trigger an election. We're waiting. The other thing that could happen, by the way, is that Trudeau himself could call for an election. Why not trigger a snap election? Dissolve Parliament, go to the polls. You're going to get your butt kicked anyway. The guy's such a narcissist. He's such a vengeful individual that I wouldn't put it past him, like I said, to have pivoted now on immigration instead of waiting for the Conservatives to pick that bag up. So, like, a good strategy would have been to allow things to continue for the next year. The Conservative Party wins the election, and then when they try to do the pivot on immigration, you paint them as racists. That's what I expected to happen. So this is a little bit early. It's a little bit more aggressive. I figured they would still be drip feeding, but I didn't think they'd come in and be like, we're lowering it by 20%. We're deporting a bunch of international students, and we're going to can the temporary foreign workers program, which is where we're going. We're going to a much more restricted TFW program. And I honestly think they've advanced the timetable, or he's advanced the timetable, because the immigrants are failing to fall in line and vote for him in the city centers. It's backfiring. It's backfiring for everybody. It's backfiring for first and second generation Canadians. The whole thing's blowing up, and it was always going to blow up. So anyway, we're here now. You know, you want me to talk about the obstruction of the release of documents and the scandals and the controversies. You know, I was actually researching and putting together at least 100 scandals. I might still do it, and making like a feature-length video all about the Liberal Party scandals with the objective of making sure you understand that a leadership change is not enough, because all of these MPs who are rebelling against Trudeau, they're only doing it because of polling. They're only doing it because of his vast unpopularity. They're not doing it because of the policies. They've supported him every step of the way, and they all sat in silence. And now they want to get loud to try and save their careers. So, folks, as I've said before, it's not enough to just change leaders and parachute Carney or someone else in there. The whole Liberal Party is guilty. And you need to hold the whole Liberal Party to account. This is not just Justin Trudeau. All of his enablers, like a drug addict who is enabled by his family, they all need to be held accountable. Daddy needs to come home. As I've said before, the culture of enabling that we have in this country, the toxic empathy where we're thinking, we're not even thinking, we're feeling our way forward with our hearts, even though most of the love that we project is false, and even though most of the solutions we project are completely irrational and illogical, but in the moment they feel good and allow us to avoid personal conflict. That culture's got to end. There's got to be a whole lot of responsibility taken. So, for one thing, if I'm not talking about it enough, it's because I'm focused on the elections that are coming in order. There's so many things going on. And secondly, we're all waiting for the same thing, for an election. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.